If you want to get life out of your heart, you have to put life into your heart. And that's what our passage tells us. And look at verse 20. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart." Notice it's already talking about heart. They're being told to get the words of teaching into your heart. And verse 22 says, "For they are life to those who find them." Even before we get to verse 23, that talks about life coming out of your heart, first of all, you've got to get life into your heart. So how do we do that? How do we guard what comes into your heart? Well, that's what verse 20 to 22 answer. A proverb shows us parents teaching their son about life, and we see that they tell him, first of all, to listen. And he's got to listen to what he's being taught, but not just listen. He's to make what he is being taught the guiding light for all that he is and all that he does. Do not let them out of your sight. Do not let this teaching out of your sight, whatever he does. And wherever he goes, he's to see everything through the lens of this teaching. It's like putting on a pair of glasses. If you have glasses on, everything you see is through the lenses of the glasses. It's saying everything is to be seen through the lens of the teaching. And then even more, keep them within your heart. To get that teaching into the central, controlling, essential part of who he is. The teaching is to define him. And when it does, verse 22, then this teaching is life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. They are health to the body. Or literally, healing to the body. That's what it says. Healing to the body. The assumption here is that the body is sick, and somehow this teaching is a medicine that restores lost health. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It's a pretty good promise that this teaching is medicine to make our bodies well. But it's a bit mysterious as well, isn't it? Now, how does getting teaching fix our bodies? How can teaching heal us? Let's think about that for a moment. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8, it has exactly the same phrase as we see here. It says, "This will bring health to your body. This will be healing for your body." And there in Proverbs 3, it's unpacking the benefits that come to those who trust in the Lord with all your heart. For those who trust God, who treat God and God's ways as more important than their own ways. That's another way of saying those who fear the Lord. They are promised healing, bodily healing, bodies made well. Now, when we plug these promises in Proverbs into the great scope of the Bible promises, it shines out brilliantly. See, if we go all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, there was a promise of life in Eden, bodily life. It was a promise of entering into an imperishable bliss of immortality, of not dying. Life in fellowship with God forever and ever and ever. Bodily life. But then, the first people failed and they fell. And at that point, at the fall, into our bodily existence was set a deadly sickness. Disobedience to our Creator, which we call sin. It dealt humanity a mortal wound. Those were God's words. If you disobey, you will die. And since then, our bodies have been subject to weakness and frailty and always death. And the Bible tells us this sorry story. It tells us how we all share in the causes and the effects of the fall. The causes and the effects, because we all sin and we all die. But then the Bible tells another story. And in our evening services, we've been looking at Paul's letter to Timothy. And there, we're told about the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. About Christ Jesus who came and destroyed death. And he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus, who is the Son of God, took on himself our broken humanity. And he owned a body just like ours. A body subject to the effects of sin. And in a body like ours, he suffered to the end what our sin deserved. And he went into death. But he didn't stay dead. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised again, raised in full humanity, raised with a body, a real live body like ours, but not like ours, because his body is now clothed with immortality and will never die again. And the risen Lord Jesus offers to share that immortal bodily life with all who trust in him. That's salvation. Salvation is healing from the mortal wound caused by our sin, healing to our bodies, as we're promised to be raised like Jesus into the immortal bodily bliss of the new creation. That's the greatness of the salvation won for us by Jesus. That's what's offered to us. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says, "The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Salvation, including our bodily healing, our bodily resurrection, comes by faith, which is trust. And it's exactly what we're seeing in Proverbs, that those who trust in the Lord with all their heart are promised healing to their body. And how does it happen? Well, 2 Timothy says it's through the Holy Scriptures. It's through what the Bible teaches. When what the Bible says is believed and trusted. And that's what we see in our passage this morning. We see in our passage the seed of the same promise. Our passage says, listen to the teaching and take the teaching into your heart so you trust it and you believe it. Act on the teaching by faith and it will be salvation for you. It will be life for you. It will be healing to your body. If we are to guard our hearts, then the first part is to guard what goes into your heart. Because if you don't get life in, you can't get life out. So that soldier who we position at the entrance to our hearts, his job is to ensure that what comes into our hearts is life. And we do it by making sure we listen to the teaching of Christ. And we don't let the teaching of Christ out of our sight. And we drive the teaching of Christ into our hearts, trusting what the Bible teaches with all of our hearts. And so, let me ask you this morning how well that soldier is doing his job on the entrance to your heart. How well are you guarding what goes in? You wouldn't put poison into your body, but we barely think twice about putting poison into our souls. Now this passage is telling us that what matters above everything else is that we feed our souls on the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes to us in the teaching of the Bible. Above all else, we are to do all we can to be defined by the teaching of Christ in the Bible. We're to listen. We're to fix our eyes. We're to fill our hearts. We're to listen. We're to take him at his word, and then we're to do it again and to do it again and to do it again and again until he returns or he raises us up into that full healing that is promised. Now this promise held out to us is a promise of life. Glorious life, healing to our bodies. A promise fulfilled in Jesus. You see, our bodies are frail and weak and subject to sickness. We're dying. Our bodies have been made mortal by sin, but the promise of the Scripture is a promise to be raised up incorruptible and clothed with immortality as we share the resurrection victory of Jesus Christ. And that's mysterious, but it is so truly wonderful. And he is worthy of our praise. And so before we see anything else from our passage, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a couple of songs together to remember the great saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we sing these songs, listen for the note of victory sounded at the resurrection of our Saviour. Let's sing first of all "In Christ Alone," and then we'll sing another song straight afterwards. Please do take your seats. We're thinking about what it is to guard your heart above all else. At verse 23 of the center of our passage looks back to show what it's like to guard what goes into your heart, then it looks forward to verses 24 to 27, which show what it means to guard what comes out of our hearts. Verses 20 to 22 are the inputs. Verses 24 to 27 are the outputs. Now remember, the box and the chocolate, you can't get life out if you haven't put life in. So we guard our heart as we watch what goes in, as we trust the word of Christ. But the other way that a soldier is to guard the entrance is to ensure that what comes out is what has gone in and not something else. Well, that's part of what it is to trust the Lord our God with all our heart. Our faith in Christ includes our daily decision to do what he says. And our passage gives three important examples of how we do that, of how we guard what comes out of our heart. First of all, in verses 24, it speaks about speech, what we say. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. We've got to think about what we say. We've got to examine our speech. We've got to ask, is the way that I speak and the things that I say, does that flow from the word of truth that I'm trying to put in? Is the output connected to the input? And when it doesn't, well, the Bible tells us what to do. It tells us we are to confess that our mouths speak from the overflow of our hearts. That when false and filthy things come from our lips, it's because that's what's going on in our hearts. So we ask God to forgive us in Christ. We ask God to cover us with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And we ask him to change us. We ask him to make us more like the Lord Jesus, who never spoke anything corrupt or false. And as we go through that process of confessing our sin, of taking hold of the mercies of Christ, of pleading to be changed to speak like the Lord Jesus, as we do those things, we're taking the word of the Bible and putting it into our hearts. We're pouring life in so that life might come out. We're to guard what comes out of our hearts in our speech. And then verse 25 is about our sight. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. And this now is about what captures your attention. What are you obsessing over? Because that obsessing comes from your heart. Now, if you want to, I'm not very familiar with this subject, but if you want to change the direction of a horse, you turn its head. I think that's right, isn't it? Because the horse will walk the way that it looks. And we're the same. We will go the way that we look. And Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So we're to think about what we're fixating on. What are our obsessions? What occupies your thoughts? What are you longing for? Examine it and ask, does the output connect to the input? And when it doesn't, when we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord, when our treasure is not to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we consider all else as lost compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, now, when there is that disconnect, then we drive the teaching of the Bible into our hearts by confessing, by trusting the forgiveness won in Christ, and asking that the Spirit of God would purify our obsessions. We're to guard what comes out of our heart in our speech and in our sight. And then the last two verses are about our step. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. It's about our actions, about what you do and where you go. And we're to examine ourselves. Does the output connect to the input? And we're to ask ourselves, am I living a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus? Am I living a life that's pleasing to him? Are the things that I do things that I would be pleased to be announced in the presence of Christ? And when it's not the case, well, then we drive the word of Christ into our hearts as we trust the promises of Scripture. And we pray as the Bible teaches us, lead us not into temptation. We pray as the Bible teaches us, help me to be like Jesus. May whatever I do, whether in word or deed, be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thankfulness to God the Father through him. And we're to guard what comes out of our hearts in our speech, in our sight, and in our step. Let me just see if you've been paying attention. You're allowed to shout in response to this. What is the most important part of you? Let's see if you can do better. What must you guard above all else?
God!
That's right, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. How do you think that soldier is doing at the entrance to your heart? We're to guard what goes in, we're to guard what comes out. That's how we trust the Lord with all our heart. It's how we take hold of what Christ has given to us, the eternal life, which is to know him and be made like him as we journey towards an eternity with him.